An interesting pod this week, if we do say so ourselves. We talk frustrating forwards, we give our view on Villa as their fixtures turn. And does anyone know if Ed Sheeran plays FPL? Hello, welcome back. It's Thursday. Erling Haaland went crazy last week. None of us triple captained him, but we're still in a good mood. Hello, Sam Bonfield. Hello, Julien Deron. You're both on holiday. Jules, where are you?
Hello, guys. I'm in France. I'm on the Ile de Ré, as usual.
Yeah, it looks beautiful. It's lovely. Had a few Wi-Fi issues, but we've got there. Commitment to the podcast this morning. Tried a few different positions, but you're in one where hopefully the Wi-Fi is going to hold out. And Sam, where are you?
I'm in Italy. I'm in Naples.
Lovely. I'm in London, but I'll be on holiday next week, so I'll make you jealous next week. Let's talk then a little bit about game week two before we go any further. It was game week two, wasn't it? Yes, it was. Game week three is coming up. How did it go for you, Jules? Were you happy overall? As I mentioned, we weren't brave enough to go with Haaland triple captain, so congratulations to those who did.
Yeah, we thought about it, didn't we? We discussed it last week's show as well. It was a bold move. It was, in a way, a successful move because the hat-trick, although he didn't start that well when Ipswich scores first, and after that, the Man City machine and the Haaland machine just got into the groove of things. Only time will tell if it was the right time to play the triple captain in game week two, or if at some point later in the season there would be a better opportunity for us to get as many points or more points, maybe even. But well done to the ones who triple captain, because for now, that was clearly the right call. I was certainly not brave enough to go for it. I thought about it, like all of us, I think, but I was definitely not brave enough.
I didn't even really think about it, Sam, I'm going to be honest, because for all the reasons we discussed in terms of like him still getting back up to speed and stuff like that, and a Man City side still getting back up to speed. So I'm going to make myself feel better by thinking, imagine how many goals he can get when they are fully back up to speed. If maybe they are now fully back up to speed, though, I don't know. And I'm delighted to see who they got in the next round of the EFL Cup as well, actually.
Yeah, I bet you are.
Shame there's no FPL points available for that. Do you regret it?
No, I mean, I must admit, I think I was a bit closer to doing it than maybe you were, but that was because on Friday I was having dinner with my eldest and he said, "Mom, should I triple captain Haaland?" And we had a whole conversation over dinner about the pros and the cons for it. And in the end, he was like, "I'm going to do it." So he did do the triple captaincy on Haaland, got 107 points last week. And I was like, wow. I think I'm just going to wait it out. And he was like, "But why wouldn't you just captain him with me?" And I was like, "I think, like you said, Kels, I want to wait for City to be in top form." And then when I saw the team sheet and it didn't have Foden at all, I was like, "Oh, maybe I have done the right thing here by waiting." Actually, as it happened, it probably was the wrong thing, because in reality, I mean, he was the fifth highest scoring triple captain ever across the game, and the only people that beat him were double game week scores. So when you think about it that way, the chances of you getting such a big haul again are quite small. But you know, it is Manchester City and it is Haaland, and you don't have to play it there. It could go on Salah at some point. There are other options too.
Yeah, so you mentioned it there, the fifth highest triple captain of all time. That was by 4,700 and 77,386 managers. Congratulations if you're one of those. The most triple captains ever given to a player in single game week. That's right, isn't it, Sam?
That's right, yeah. Right.
And the fifth most of all time. The rest came in double game week. So yeah, just to clarify that. But of course, Haaland wasn't the highest scoring player in game week two. That honour went, perhaps surprisingly, to Chelsea's Madueke, who registered 20 points for his hat-trick in Chelsea's 6-2 win away at Wolves. I'm not sure I was only listening on the radio, but followed such a bonkers game of football. It was so unbelievably open. Could have gone either way. And then for the fact that at half-time it went, was it 3-2 at half-time and then it went 6-2? Cole Palmer as well tied level on points with Haaland for the week, racking up 17 for 3 assists and a goal. There's plenty to ponder for us in that, isn't there, Jules?
Yeah, a lot, because if you look at all the stats and if you just watch the game again, Wolves have a higher expected goal than Chelsea, for example, who did score 6 for an expected goals of less than 2 and less than their opponent. So you're right, could have gone either way. It's just the Madueke hat-trick in the space of 14 minutes just changes the game, obviously, completely. There's one that is deflected, one goal is a deflected shot. But him and Palmer really like set that game on fire in the second half, especially. The problem with Madueke is not so much the talent, because he's a very talented kid, there's no doubt. It's just the consistency. And he is, I think, capable of hat-tricks and games like he had at Wolves last weekend, and also games where he's completely anonymous and he's not even guaranteed yet to be a starter at Chelsea under Maresca. He was not under Pochettino last season. So this is the only thing. So right now, it was the game of his Chelsea's career, really, let's be honest. But I'm not sure if he can do it again, for example, this weekend in game week three coming and et cetera. Yeah. So for Madueke, we need a bit more confirmation maybe. For Palmer, it's just good to see him back at this kind of level because the start of the season has been slow, game week one. And even before that, post-Euros. And now it looks like it was the Palmer of last season that we saw again.
Yeah, his goal was outrageous, wasn't it?
Right.
Yeah. Also, though, Jules, I'm not sure we actually need that headache because I don't think any of us can find the money to get Cole Palmer in our team. So if Madueke could actually produce that on a regular basis, a bit like Jota with Salah, it would give us a lovely other route into the Chelsea attack. Now, before we move on and discuss the EFL Cup and also look ahead to game week three, I'm going to get in trouble with a few of the listeners that do like to keep track of how we're all doing. We've spoken about what we didn't do in terms of triple captaining Haaland, but Sam, you finished on 82 points. Jules, you finished on 73 points. I, once again, was the worst, only just on 69 points. I'm not too happy with my team, but Sam, in any other week, I'd probably be vaguely happy with 69, but it feels like it's been a pretty high scoring start.
It has, yeah, massively.
Please tell me that that's just not me making myself feel better.
No, it has, because when you think about it, everybody that's been popular to own in the game has returned points for people. So even like last week, Cole Palmer did nothing, but certainly made up for it in game week two. Same with Son, didn't get anything in game week one, but made up for it in game week two. Saka consistently returning at the moment. Same with Salah, same with Haaland. So all of these kind of big premium assets that are highly owned in the game, they all are returning regularly at the moment. And when that happens, you then end up with much higher averages because those players are the ones that obviously most people have in their team. So I can understand your frustration, Kel, particularly when you think about the people that had triple captain Haaland and got 51 out of him alone. Like, that's obviously going to inflate the average that you get for the week. So yeah, it's going to be interesting. And I think I was quite intrigued to see the number of triple captains, which we'll talk about later. Like, it was funny because I was pondering around this script last night, and Lee was like, oh, by the way, I've wildcarded this week. And I was like, I'm sorry, you've done what? Yeah. And I was like, how have you spent all week with me and I've just been told about this right now?
We're spotting marital problems here, Jordan.
I was like, you're joking that you've done this without telling me. And I was like, why? And he was like, well, because suddenly there's a lot of other players that are starting to perform, and I feel like a couple of the ones I've got are wrong. And he had Nkunku and people like that. And I think it's becoming a bit clearer now. And you always get this, don't you, after sort of 180 minutes of football, where you start to be able to see the players that you really want and the players that you don't. And so I can understand why this week has become a bit of a wildcard week for people.
I need to start teeing you up with what I'm actually meaning to ask you. That was a brilliant answer, Sam. But the listeners also want to know how your team did.
Oh, my team. It was fine. I got 83.
It was really good.
Yeah, 82, really sorry. I think, do you know, Kelly, I was a bit annoyed though by it because there were so many players in there that were like, that Ipswich goal frustrated me so much because having Vardiol not get a clean sheet in a home game
Your defence did really well.
Yeah, it did. And that's the other problem is I look at the back line of Saliba, Porro and Robinson, who got 6, 6 and 7, and then sat next to them is Vardiol. And I'm like, you're an annoyance to me there, particularly when I could afford to have Trent because I've got loads of money in the bank, weirdly. And then in midfield, they did well as well. So I had Smith Rowe and Saka and Jota, obviously all they returned. Isak's the conversation, I think, now.
Oh, I agree.
Yeah, suddenly there's a conversation around him because that's two games that I really feel like he should have got more out of. Southampton and Bournemouth, you would be expecting there to be big returns from him in those two. So yeah, 82, it was a good week, but I can't help but feel it could have been even better.
Jules, your week?
Yeah, 73, not too bad defensively, very, very good. Areola in goal with the 6 points and Porro and Saliba as well. I brought in Livramento, hoping that Newcastle defensively would be strong enough, and Livramento is the starting right back. Didn't really go according to plan, but that's okay, it happens. And then after that, it was just like, agree with Sam in some of the ones who returned, like Saka and Jota, but had Rodgers in the team that had, I thought, a fantastic game against Arsenal and should have returned.
How is he not getting points, Jota, at the moment? I've
mad.
Got him as well.
Yeah, it was mad, really. Isak is a conversation. I've got Kudus, who have now playing City now, so he's a conversation too, I guess. So overall, it's just not too bad. But 73 is just above the average of game week two, which is still not great.
You sound like you're not overly happy, Jules. Would you consider a wild card at this early stage?
No, I think it's too early. And you know my OCD things that I've got sometimes. For me, it's always take an international break. The first one feels, so this September one always feels so early.
Yeah.
And I just don't want to play too early. And then in 4 or 5 game weeks, yeah, I feel like, I wish I could play now. And I've played already after just 2 or 3 games. So I'm just going to wait. And now, because you can roll on up to 5 free transfers, I don't think you need to rush your wild card at all.
The one thing I would say, though, about rushing it is I'm not sure that because of the 5 transfers thing,
you can look at it the other way, can't you?
You can. Because this is what this conversation I was having last night is that, like, Lee didn't make a transfer out of game week 1 and into game week 2. So he's now got 2 effectively that he'll have coming out of this wild card. Yeah. So if there's any problems on wild card, you've got that. But equally, you'd think if you wild card now, you should get your team almost spot on. So if it's right, then you won't need to wild card again. You won't need any more transfers a couple of weeks after. Before you know it, by the time you get to the second international break, you've got 5 free transfers. So you've effectively got another mini wild card anyway. So I think there's 2 ways of looking at it. There's that I want to save it for a bit later because that feels logical and sensible. That's how my brain works as well. Or you go, well, I'll play it now and then I'll set my team up for the next 4 or 5 weeks so that by the time we get there, I won't have had to make any changes and then can use those role transfers as almost like a big mini wild card and change half my team.
Sam, how much of his team? Why did you send him and the kids out? I'd quite like to sit him down on this podcast and grill him about who's in his team.
Surely you know his team already, no?
He didn't even tell her he played it.
Well, he did. So last night I was like, why is the wild card? Because the only reason this happened is because we were sat together. I was doing the...
Oh, this is like when you find out about an affair, but it's just an FPL.
Yeah,
right? Exactly. So I'm sat there like doing this, happily minding my own business, updating the FL scores. And I look over at him and I was like, what chip have you got active? And he was like,
Oh, so he didn't want to tell you.
He was like, he mentioned on our live stream on Sunday that he was thinking about it because he had a few issues. And I said, you're being ridiculous. It's too early. And then he obviously at some point, goodness knows when, because we've been together 24/7 all this week. He's hit the walk. Maybe I was asleep or something. But he's played it. So he's done it for people like Cole Palmer. Like he wanted a route to Palmer. He's got players in there that he wasn't happy with. And he wanted to free up some money. So he's like, he wants to change out Isak. He wanted to deal with... he still had Solanke on his bench. He had Barco still.
Oh, gosh, you're making me... I've got all of these players.
He had Nkunku. And he was like, you know, when you look at it, and this is the conversation we were having, is that he's like, when you look at it, I had 5 players that I really didn't want in my team. Plus, I had like 5 or 6 players that I really wanted to own, including Cole Palmer, and had no route to him unless you take some money out of elsewhere. So he's basically done that. So now his team's got Palmer and Saka, and it's still got Haaland in it, and it actually looks really nice. I was quite jealous when I was looking at it yesterday. I thought maybe that's going to be a really nice option, and probably something that I don't think I'll do it this week. Well, I won't now, but maybe in the first international break, I might even play it next week.
I was going to say the first international break's next week, Sam.
Yeah, it might even be next week because like my team's actually started really well. I'm doing really well at the moment. So I don't want to change things unnecessarily, but I do look at it and think there are a few players, for example, this week, if Palmer performs well again, and if Madueke performs well, or however we want to look at it, like if we get a performance out of Chelsea, maybe there is an opportunity there that I can kind of invest in because their fixtures are so nice for the longer term as well.
Yeah, also like the Solanke Isak headache all of a sudden, if we've got 2 forwards that aren't performing, 2/3 of your front line, then yeah, I think that kind of almost justifies it. Also interesting, isn't it, that we spent the whole of pre-season, Jules, talking about how there wasn't much value in defence and how we thought it was going to be all the attackers. Don't get me wrong, the attackers are performing, but particularly like when I looked at Sam's defence this week, I think it was the same for you actually in terms of Porro, Saliba, Robinson. I don't think you have Robinson actually.
Yeah, no, you're right. And you know what? Looking at preparing for the show and looking at again what happened in game week 2, only 6 forwards returned, which surely must be like a record or something. Because if you didn't have, so Haaland, okay, most of the 60% of the manager, but if you didn't have Haaland, Jackson, Welbeck, Joao Pedro, Cunha, and Trent Larson, none of the other forwards got more than 2 points. So it's 2-1 or 0 for every single other forward out of those 6 ones. Mm. And even in those 6 ones, apart from Haaland, the others, okay, Joao Pedro because he was quite cheap, but all the others are pretty low owned. So I've rarely seen a game week where actually of all the forwards in the game, pretty much nobody returned outside of Haaland. And that's exactly what happened. So it's one of those weeks where we can have the discussion about Solanke and Isak and others too. But really, Ryan, it was a bit of a freak of a game week because none of the forwards actually got points and did nothing, not an assist, not a goal, just nothing. So it's a bit weird. And that's when you need your strong defense. And yes, we've said it, a lot of people have Poro or Saliba. So it's a lot of the same defenders. Okay, Vargas in this case didn't really work out, but he would normally. So you just have to find maybe the last of your defender is a bit of a differential. So if he scores, then it's really good for you. Those kind of things, because forwards right now are not really reliable, to be fair.
Why do you think that is? It's strange, isn't it?
It is. It is a strange one. And actually, the forwards that have been reliable are the likes of Danny Welbeck, who are some of the most cheapest routes into the attack. And I think this season, we saw a lot of value in the attackers. And maybe we've therefore put more of our budget into the midfield and attack slots than we normally would. I think usually, particularly in that forward line, we would have one premium, probably another mid-priced, and then a budget option. Because this year, a lot of managers have decided to invest heavily in the forward lines and in the midfield. Our expectations, I think, are significantly higher of these players. So we're like, well, I've spent 8 million on you. I spent 8.5 million on you. I'd expect you to be performing, particularly when you look at some of the defenders who are performing, in the likes of Robinson, who picks up 7 points this week and is, you know, super cheap. So I think there's a weight of expectation there. I also think that for some of them, it's like Isak, I do think has been a little bit unlucky. Obviously, the sending off in game week one restricted the amount of opportunities that Newcastle had. And then into game week two, Bournemouth were actually just really good in that game. So it might be that moving forward, we see a little bit more consistency from those forward players, and maybe we don't need to panic on them straight away. But right now, it is looking tougher to hold them because, like, I would really like to take Vardiol to Trent, and I'm then thinking that's even more money in the defence, which feels counterintuitive to what we were talking about all of pre-season, but it kind of feels like Big at the Back is back, and maybe that's where I want to go.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see, won't it? And with Solanke, we still don't know fully, do we, Sam, but is it expected after the international break?
Yeah, so Postecoglou hasn't really said anything yet, but he, in the first match where he ruled him out of game week two, he said, we've got international break coming up, and that suggested to me that I'd expect to see Solanke back after that rather than for game week three. So we'll just, all he is on the press conference on Friday, just in case we get news on him.
Right, so Sam, you sold for Muniz. Jules, what about you? What's your plan with Solanke?
No, I've kept him because Postecoglou also said it was just a knock, that it was nothing serious or anything like that. To be fair, I expected him to miss just one game week two, and then be back for the Newcastle clash, as in,
two
big teams. Which I think he could. Right now, the flag is 50% chances of playing this weekend. So I'm going to wait. But even I'm going to keep him anyway because I want him for after. I think eventually, game week one, I think he was unlucky. He had those two big chances. We've said that at the time, his XG on that goal is 0.4 or something like that. So he had decent opportunity to score, just didn't work out. But I think he will score goals for Spurs. I think he would be good because they're going to create so many chances for him. So I don't want to let him go, and I want to keep him, even if right now there's that flag on him. I think he could play this weekend, but certainly he'll be back after the international break.
Yeah, it's interesting, isn't it, Sam, as well? Because I keep saying it's interesting, but I really do think the forwards are very interesting.
You're very interested in the show.
I am. I've gone wildly off script here because I've just realised from talking to you guys, the forwards are one of our biggest problems at the moment. It feels like we expected the defence to be. The midfielders, all of these lovely options are popping up in terms of, we know we want Salah, we know we could have Jota, Saka, Palmer, we're keeping our eye on Rodgers. But then with the forwards, we all went with the three, exactly the same three at the beginning of the season. Sam's already veered away from that. Me and you, Jules, aren't quite sure what to do about Solanke. None of us are happy with Isak. Obviously, we're all happy with Haaland. But maybe, Sam, there's two other spots up for grabs, and from all being quite boring at the start of the season, maybe it's time to be different. You've started it by going with Muniz.
Yeah, so I and it was quite a last minute decision. Obviously, when I spoke here last week, we didn't know anything about the Solanke injury, and then on Friday afternoon when that news broke, I was like, I'm going to do nothing. I'm just going to leave him. I'm going to do what Jules did. He can sit on my bench, and then I'll fix him next week. And then I was looking at Fulham, and I thought, I don't know, I really fancy Fulham to do well this week. It was a nice game. And in the end, I thought, if I'm going to do potentially Solanke to Muniz next week anyway, why don't I just do it this week for the Leicester game? And then I'll be trebled up on Fulham, which feels a lot, but, you know, we don't have to stick with them forever. And I think that's the thing this year. It does feel like this game is going to be a more flexible in our approach. We'll be able to move around the players a little bit more, but we won't have to stay quite so loyal and quite so wed to players. So I think for me, the decision was, well, let's just target this week then. Let's just target this week, because I didn't really fancy Nkunku, particularly after seeing him start for Chelsea on the Thursday evening in their game.
You were really quite angry with him, weren't you? I could tell. I thought, even when Solanke was fully ruled out, we did the fantasy show on Friday.
Yeah.
And you were like, I could just start Nkunku if Solanke is definitely ruled out. And I was like, yeah, surely she'll do that rather than use a transfer. Checked her team. I was like, wow, she really didn't want Nkunku.
I really didn't want to play Nkunku. I just didn't fancy him to get the start. And I actually spoke to a number of Chelsea fans and they were all kind of 50-50 on it. And I was like, I just don't fancy him to start. He started him on Thursday. And then when the team sheet came out, I was like, oh, I feel like I've got that one right. But obviously, you know, nothing for Muniz. But I'm looking at my front line as being the areas where most of my transfers will probably happen this year. Like, I feel like my defence is fairly well set and I'm probably just going to stick with them. Now, not the goalkeeper he needs dealing with, but the defence itself, they're going to be fairly static, I think. So I'm looking at the forward line and I've got loads of money in the bank now because I've been selling Solanke and I'm planning to sell, spoiler alert for later, I'm planning to sell Nkunku later on in the week.
I don't think that's that big a spoiler.
I don't think it is.
I expected something much bigger than Nkunku being sold.
But I'm actually, not doing anything raging this week. But yeah, I'm going to get rid of him. And then, but that'll give me like 3 and a bit million in the bank. And having that level of money means I can kind of go anywhere. And I wanted that over the international break because it means that if I want to go from Isak to Watkins, I can. If I want to go from Muniz up to somebody else, I can. If I want to drop Muniz down to a João Pedro or a Welbeck, I can. Like there's a load of flexibility that comes with that front line. And I think actually, if you can play the front line correctly, that's where you're going to get the majority of your returns over other people this year. Yeah. Because I think, you know, most people are going to settle with the midfield and the defence and it'll be finding the differentials in the attack.
Jules, who are the best options then? You've said you're happy to wait on Solanke, but we've already mentioned that Isak is potentially going to become a little bit of a problem.
Well, it could be. Although, I mean, again, I think at some point, it's just the start of the season. Let's not forget, if we were mid-season and Isak had been average for the first 18 games or something like that, then I think it would be a worry. Now, it's just 2 games in. Sam explained rightly earlier, the first game, red card for sure after 25 minutes or something. So maybe Newcastle's just not up there in terms of match fitness and just the, you know, hitting the ground running now. But it could happen against Spurs this weekend, for example, when they're back at St. James's Park. You know, that would be so Spursy, Sam. And then they've got Wolves and Fulham, for example. So for Isak, I'm not too worried. I think those kind of strikers usually at some point get into the groove and stuff. The difference compared to last season, in last season we were really lucky because Isak performed really well, and Solanke and Watkins and Haaland and Havertz for the second half of the season. Even Darwin, remember Darwin time? He had this period where he kept scoring. Okay, then he became Darwin again and then that stopped. But so we were really lucky because he felt easier. In this one, as we've said, look at game week 2, not many forward performed and returned. So he's just finding the guy who you believe and or feel that are going to do well in game week 3, 4, and 5, etc. It's just not easy because Jackson could be the one, but what we saw him scoring in game week 2, again, inconsistency with him is, as we know, might not do that in game week 3. Watkins at some point surely is going to wake up. Same with Isak that we mentioned. What about Emateta or Havertz or maybe even Mbomo and the guys at Brentford who have replaced Tony?
Yeah, Wissa has looked good, hasn't he?
Wissa as well. You know, Liverpool, Jota right now is the number 9, but at some point could it be Gakpo or could it be Darwin again? We saw Darwin coming on late in game week 2, for example. So there's still a lot of things. Full Crook started in the EFL Cup for West Ham on Wednesday night.
And
so
you
I
love
don't
him.
Think yeah, I don't think he will start the weekend and Antonio should still keep that place. But at some point, Full Crook will start for West Ham. Hoyland is going to come back from injury. So then we will have more options. Right now, it's true, it feels a bit like I don't really know where to go. So for now, I'll keep Haaland, Isak, and Solanke until he's back fit, and then I can see.
Jules, it's like you've learned over the past year or so that it's about the long game and a bit of strategy. You've got better at that, haven't you?
It's interesting what you said, because you're very interested this morning. But no, you're right. Actually, you are. But also when there's...
Why do I keep saying that?
I don't know, but I love it. In game week two, we said, let's wait a bit to see the trend. So, okay, I don't know. Let's say Semenyo, for example, who's going to... Could be one of my differential. Could be, could not be. But... back-to-back return for him, great. But he might never return again for all we know until the end of his career. So let's just wait a little bit more. And others, maybe the bigger names, can start returning now who haven't really returned so far, like a Watkins too, who should have scored against Arsenal. And really, if you owned him and you watched that game, a bit like Erst Kells with Rodgers, you would have gone crazy in front of your television.
I like that phrase, on the menu. I'm really going to try and not say the word interesting for the rest of the podcast.
I mean, no, but just find a synonym of interesting. It's fascinating, Jules,
intrigued.
What you're saying. Yeah, fascinating. I
was intrigued, Sam, when I read this stat, though. Alexander Isak, you'll love this as well, scored a brace on the previous two occasions he's faced Spurs at St James's Park, with the aggregate score 10-1 to Newcastle.
Yeah, we are terrible at St James's Park.
You can't sell him this week, can you?
No. I wouldn't, and I'm a Spurs fan. Like, I'm holding him this week. Like, honestly.
You'll get some pleasure when he scores, haven't you?
Kelly, I never get any pleasure when Spurs go to St James's Park. Honestly, it's a disaster every time. I'm going to keep him this week for sure.
Okay, that's nice and simple then, wasn't it?
So we'll probably all have...
It was very... What an interesting discussion. by the way, before we go any further, I've been talking about all the value in defence. Did any of you see who my third playing defender was last week?
Barco?
No, even better. I wish it was.
No, you
really?
Had to.
You can't
Wolves.
Be better than the
Wolves.
Player who's not there.
It was a Wolves defender.
Yeah, do you know what they finished on, Sam? Mosquera?
Well, they conceded
minus
six goals.
Seven?
So.
Minus two, Jules. Oh. And I nearly last week brought in Robinson, but I didn't. I've done it this week. I didn't do it. And so it was basically a 9-point swing.
What happened with Mosquera? Yeah. Why Mosquera, though? What? Like, this
because
is
he's
strange.
My 4 million not meant to start defender, but obviously I had all of those problems. And I was like, oh yeah, I don't mind him starting. He'll just get me one or two points and I'll save
Kelly's problems just kept getting worse and worse last week, didn't they, Kelly? With every press conference, it was like, oh, I've got this one's out, I've got that one out.
And I just, by the end of it, was just like, it's all right, I can rely on this bench, but I didn't need, if anyone had been injured, I would have had 10 players. In hindsight, I wish I'd had 10 players because that would have been zero rather than minus two.
71.
Yeah. I hadn't thought about that. I'd have gone over 70. That would have felt so much better than 69. Oh, anyway, it's done. It's moving on. Unfortunately, I still haven't sold him because he at least plays, whereas I have other defenders that don't even get on the pitch. Although, if you're going to get minus two, what's even the point?
Won't happen again. It'll be fine.
Okay, just a quick EFL Cup recap. As I said, I've gone wildly off script here because it felt like there were so many different talking points. I'm sure we'll talk about forwards in the coming weeks as well, as Jules said, as we find out more about them and get kind of more evidence. The EFL Cup, there was some interesting stuff in this. I watched Forest versus Newcastle last night. What else did you notice? Jules, did you manage to watch many of these games? I know no matter where you are in the world, you normally manage to.
I tried, to be fair. It was not easy last night because there was a lot of going on and partying and everything like that.
You're on holiday with about 400 people, aren't you?
Yeah, exactly, yeah. I feel like a tour guide in here, to be fair, with all our friends. But anyway, Ipswich, I mean, if you thought the start of the Premier League was hard, which it was, to be honest, you know, Liverpool and City, you can't do harder than that. And then you thought, okay, then they play Wimbledon in the EFL Cup. Nobody even knows where Wimbledon are, in which league, and how well they're doing or not. And then guess what? Wimbledon knocked them out on penalties. So really terrible start from Kieran McKenna and the boys. And I think the EFL at this time, the EFL Cup usually is like, okay, finally we get a win. You kickstart your season. A bit of momentum for the weekend in the Premier League, not for Ipswich. So that was not good at all. And Forest as well. Not that it needed a bit of momentum because they've done okay so far in the Premier League, but to lose against Newcastle in the EFL Cup, which would have been one of their objectives, let's try to do well in domestic cups, not really this season.
Sam, anything you noticed? There were some quite big wins for teams in the Premier League that potentially really needed it as well.
Yeah, I think seeing Everton and Palace get two fairly big wins. And so obviously Everton won 3-0, Fulham won 2-0, Palace won 4-0. I think, you know, when you're struggling like Everton have been over the opening two fixtures of the season, having that win under your belt doesn't really matter who it comes against. It just changes the momentum potentially. So I think they were going to be a team that we were going to target in FPL, but maybe this changes them. To be honest, I still think they might be a bit of a team to target. But the EFL does kind of throw to light. And sometimes you see new players that they start instead of ones that have been doing badly in the league and then they get the game time, sometimes it has the opposite effect, right? And you see them in the midweek, like in Kunku last week, and then you don't see them starting at the weekend. So I think it's just important to keep abreast of that, just to make sure that your players are doing well and no injuries, all of that good stuff. But most of the Premier League sides actually doing what they needed to do.
I just forgot quickly, West Ham beat Bournemouth 1-0 late. Jared Bowen scored again. So that's two in two now. Yeah. Game week two he scored, and then in the FA Cup. So the momentum also works for players who maybe had a slow start game week one of the Premier League season. For Bowen, for example, clearly hitting form now. And the fact that he played the whole game against Bournemouth, maybe he needed a bit of that game time because he came back late, obviously having been at the Euros with you, Kelly, for a whole month in Germany, the two of you. So now he came back late, and so that was good for him. So if you were thinking about Bowen, I know he's 7.5, so he's not cheap for a midfielder, but if you were thinking about him, it feels like right now it's a good time to get Bowen in your team.
Also, I can't believe we've spoken about it after talking about my friend getting the wrong Jota last week.
I saw her last night.
But he was brilliant against Newcastle last night. So I texted her saying, you might have had the last laugh here because he came on and was brilliant. And she was like, yeah, but I don't get any FPL points for that. No. And I was like, well, that's true. But I'm just saying he might have played himself into contention. It didn't make her feel that much better.
There's a Jota who used to be at Celtic who then went to Saudi Arabia, just signed for Rennes. Tell her not to buy him either because this is not the right Jota.
It's another Jota as well. Game, again. But I'll pass that on.
Yeah, thank you.
Unless she starts playing French fantasy.
You never know. Just tell her. Even that Jota is not the right one.
I'll pass that on. She does listen to this podcast. So she'll be really grateful for that tip. Thank you. Let's talk fixture swings a little bit, Sam, because we've actually already mentioned Aston Villa and they're really interesting now, aren't they? Because myself and Jules have been left frustrated. We put our faith in Morgan Rodgers and I'm still absolutely adamant that at his price point,
definitely,
he is going to be an absolute steal. And at some point this season, a lot of people are going to want to own him. But it is still getting frustrating. However, Villa in general, the top of the fixture ticker, people will start looking at him, particularly if he does start turning the potential into points.
Absolutely. I mean, I used the game in game week two as an opportunity to kind of scout Aston Villa. We were out and about on Saturday and I said, I need to be home for 5:30 because I want to scout a third Arsenal asset and I need to scout Villa assets and work out which Villa asset it is that I want. And actually, I think there were a number that kind of really stood out. So obviously, your Rodgers pick, like I think as a cheap enabler, he looks fantastic. I mean, he's had 5 goal attempts in the opening 2 matches. 2 of them have come from inside the box. He's created 4 chances. One of those has been a big chance. And when you think about like game week 2 was against Arsenal, so that's not a game that you would expect them to be getting lots of opportunities and lots of chances. So in terms of those budget picks, I just think he looks like phenomenal value for money. And then you've got Watkins, who... You would expect Watkins to have scored by now because of what he did last season.
How is he not?
Well, exactly. I mean, he was second for expected goal underachievers in game week 2. So he was the player who didn't score that was expected to score the most, apart from Ince, he was second for that. He's had 2 attempts on goal, both from inside the box, both of them classified as big chances. He's created 2 chances in the 124 minutes that he's played so far this season, which... When I read that stat originally, I was like, oh, that feels quite low. I wonder what his chances created stats were last season, because obviously last season he was phenomenal at creating opportunities for his teammates. And actually last season he was creating a chance every 71 minutes. So obviously there's a wider pool of games to look at there. But that basically means that he's creating a chance every 62 minutes at the moment in comparison to every 71 last season. So he's actually being more creative at the moment than he was last year, if you look at the underlying stats. Mm. So I think if you've got Ollie Watkins, you hold. I think the bigger question is, do you invest this week? Because as you say, they're top of the fixture ticker, but he hasn't yet got off the ground running. But if you go early and he does return, then you're on him for this really nice, you get the whole run. Or you decide, okay, I'm going to give Isak another week because of all that stuff you've just said about Spurs at St. James's Park. And then you move from Isak to Watkins next week if Isak doesn't return. I think those are the kind of conversations that managers are going to need to have. For me, I'm going to hold Isak for one more week because I know what Spurs do. And then I'll move for Watkins next week if Isak doesn't return against us.
Yeah, I brought Morgan Rodgers in to kind of cover that Villa attack. That was my thinking. He was a cheap boy. I imagine it was similar for you as well, Jules. I also noticed that you've had Ezri Konsa on your bench, but I imagine he might start getting a few starts for your team now, given the way these fixtures change.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Rodgers has turned into a prime Brazilian Ronaldo in the 2 games that he played. And I know
Jules, where's he from? Which country is he going to play for?
I don't know. I wish he was from Paris because I could then brag and say that he's one of mine, but he's not. But what has been really interesting, because he arrived from obviously Middlesbrough in January last season, so he had those 6 months almost in the Premier League to adapt, but he played out wide very often on the left-hand side. Now he plays just behind Watkins as a second striker or another striker, whatever you want to call it. And I think this is much better for him, obviously, because you're more central and you're closer to the goal than when you are on the left or on the right-hand side, or the left especially for him. So that's that change of position, I think, has really benefited from him. I think his all-around game is what Unai Emery really, really likes. Mm. And as you said, he's been really unlucky. The thing with Konsa, with Matty Cash's injury now, Konsa could also play right back like he did with England. Or like he played for most of last season as well with Villa, and Diego Carlos could come in and play with Pau Torres at the two centre backs, and then Ding or Madsen at left back for Villa. So whoever replaces Cash, I don't think that will impact Konsa. It just means that if you have Konsa, he will either start a right back or a centre back. I just benched him against Arsenal because I expected Arsenal to score, and so they did. So I kept Saliba on my team and then put Konsa on the bench. But Konsa is definitely back in the team for this weekend, because against Leicester, I think Villa will be very solid and Konsa should return.
Cash's injury could potentially open up some other nice options, couldn't it, really, Sam?
Absolutely. And I think you can stay with Villa and you can go...
For who?
You can go for Konsa if you want.
Who else? Right,
you can go. They've got $4 million now. No.
Yeah. Oh, no. I'm just asking. Jones. I can't remember his name. Yeah, sorry.
Right.
I'm staying quiet here.
I'll make an attempt.
I can spell it. I just can't say it.
It's just how hard you try not to pronounce his name.
I reckon I could say it.
I was never going to let you off this one.
Nedeljkovic, I think it is, isn't it?
Not bad. Or call him by his first name. His first name is easy.
Costa.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a bit Costa. But Costa and Konsa might be a bit much. Yeah, I mean, and actually, so didn't we all get excited? Well, I certainly did anyway, watching that game when he came on. I was like, oh, hello, Barco replacement. If Matty Cash is out for a while, then this actually does make a lot of sense. And we'll have to see exactly what the extent of Matty Cash's injury is. But he could be a really nice option if he directly replaces him, because he's only going to cost you $4 million. Most people in the game seem to have a Barco shape problem or another 4.0 problem if you know gone off your Wolves one, Kelly, because he's got let you down, then absolutely he could be a nice option. So it won't be a long-term option though, because I would expect when Matt Cash is fit that he would come straight back in. But as a short-term punt, if you are, you know, looking to wildcard in the next 3-4 weeks, then could be a good option.
I feel really bad that I didn't know how to say his name. I pride myself on making sure I could say his name.
Should have listened to the video.
Yeah, we'll definitely do that for his massive 12-point haul this week and when I bring him into my team. Elsewhere, aside from Villa, so they do top the fixture ticker at the moment. Below them is Ipswich, then Chelsea. We've already briefly spoken about Chelsea and maybe needing a little bit longer to scout their options before we decide if Madueke's worth the kind of investment. And Nkunku, we've got a few headaches over him, particularly Sam. Ipswich as well, it's tough to invest in them because of all the reasons we've said. They had a tough start in the Premier League. They've had a tough start in the Cup as well. But maybe the only options, Sammy Smodic scored at the Etihad, Jules. Then $4 million defender Ben Johnson as well. I've seen him on a few people's benches. He got the assist as well. Are they the only ones you'd look at?
I mean, I wish I could sign Ed Sheeran. I'm kidding, Ipswich fans. I'm only kidding.
Jules, do you have Leif Davis in your team?
No, I swapped for Livramento, which was a terrible idea, to be honest. So no, I don't have him anymore. But no, I think you can. If you look at the fixtures, as we've been saying, much easier. I mean, it could not have been, as you say, Liverpool and City to start, but Fulham, Brighton, Southampton, Villa. I know Smoddy scored and he was obviously outstanding in the Championship last season with Blackburn. I just don't see how... I just think this is the worst start of the season that they could have had. But again, Liverpool and City, they probably expected to lose both games. I just haven't seen enough. Even that first half against Liverpool, yeah, that was good. And we said they fought hard and they won duels and second balls. Great. That doesn't bring you any points in FPL though. And I think there's a point where I just need to wait. If ever I would go to an Ipswich player, just wait a little bit to see if there's a smallish that can be just outstanding for them over a few games. Otherwise, I'm not sure it's really worth it. Sorry, Ipswich and Ipswich fans.
You've tried your best there. Maybe in a few weeks we'll be talking. They have had such a tough start and I'm sure things are going to pick up because it's not every week you have to play Liverpool and then Manchester City, is it? Okay, differential of the week. Because we've gone wildly off script, completely my own fault, differential of the week is going to be a speedy differential of the week this week. You know the drill by now. These guys pick a player who is under 10% owned that they think could provide points this week and potentially even beyond. Last week, congratulations to Sam. I thought of you when James Madison got an assist.
How did he not get more? Spurs
against Everton, I know.
That's
Jules,
the
less
life.
Said about Jamie Vardy and that party that's ended after 1 week.
I mean, sure, you know, let me just this was the worst ever differential pick in the history of this
I'm
game.
I'm glad you've said
he
it
had zero shots. I think he had six passes. He played 71 minutes. I would have done better. I think he had like literally had 12 touches of the ball. 12 touches, one of them, I mean, one being kickoff, either the first one or after half time. One was the other kickoff after the first goal. I mean, worst pick ever. I'm sorry if anybody listened to my Jamie Vardy, the party pick.
I thought I'd never see this on this podcast. Jules holding his hands
that
up
was
and
humbling.
He got something wrong, but that was quite the admittance. Come on then. Yeah. Oh no, it's the winner, isn't it? I let the winner go first. Sam, who are you going with?
So Jules, you mentioned Semenya earlier. I had him as my backup. I'll leave you in case you want him.
I've got three, so I've got plenty. You know,
sorry,
you
here.
You've got three.
Yeah, three. I'll give you them all. It's like Christmas today. It's
because he's on holiday with loads of people. He's been using it as an opportunity.
They've
to
asked me millions
of
questions
my
as well.
Prep.
Either that or someone else is an expert and they're just feeding him the information.
I'm the expert, certainly, amongst my friends.
So I'll leave Semenya because he was my backup anyway, if I'm going first. And I'm going to go for Brian Mbeumo this week. We've got Southampton at home. He's going to cost you 7 million. So he's not exactly a cheap option, but he's only owned by 5.2% of the game, which really surprised me given how good he's been over previous seasons. So far, this campaign has created four chances. Two of those have been big chances. And that's more than anyone else in the Brentford team. He has also had two further attempts on goal. Both of those have come from inside the box. He's produced four key passes, which again is more than anyone else at Brentford. And when Tony was out last season, Mbeumo was absolutely brilliant. Like, he really stood up. And I expect that will happen again. He's going to face Southampton in game week three, whose underlying stats at the end of game week one looked great, but then they were playing against a 10-man Newcastle side. Since then, Southampton have conceded seven big chances in the last two matches. That's the third most across the league. And I think, you know, actually, had Shah not been sent off in game week one, that seven big chances conceded would have been significantly higher than that, because Newcastle didn't attack as much as probably they would have done if they were at full strength. So I think Mbeumo against Southampton at home could be a really nice pick this week.
I like that. Jules, what about you?
So I don't know where to go, really. I've got too many. So Semenya was one of them.
I feel like I've started a thing. You know, on the first week when I wouldn't let you have your first differentials,
You've
now come armed with like loads. And when I want you to be quick on your differentials as well.
No, we're not.
Okay, no, I'll be quick. So Semenya is one good one. 5.5 million, owned only by 2.5% of the manager. 13 points already because he's, as we said, returned back-to-back. One goal, one assist in the first two game weeks. He had 12 shots in those two game weeks, 16 touches in the opposition box, which is a lot. So that's good. Then I had Iwobi too. I like Iwobi because Fulham play Ipswich and Ed Sheeran. And he had 8 points against Leicester. He was really good. So
Jules, find out if Ed Sheeran plays FPL. We get him pop.
Oh my God. Yeah. I will.
Yeah. I don't know why I think you've got contacts with Ed Sheeran.
How
Jules him and
got
I, we hang out.
With Ed Sheeran?
Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you, but that was just like
no,
a
it's
light
okay. I swim in his pond too. So it will be 1.1% owned, 5.5 million as well, because Smith Rowe is heavily owned, obviously. So you could go for Iwobi as a differential. And I think the two of them, best friends, etc., they can do well against Ipswich. And then Savio is a very interesting one, but that could be one for another day.
Hold on, Savio, which one are you
so
going
which one
with?
Do you want?
Or Savinho. Yeah. I mean, I'd pick the one who does the best, obviously.
No, you have to.
It doesn't work like that.
What? Okay. So I will go for... So Semenya...
Quick differentials?
It will be quick.
Don't let everyone down again because right. everyone
trusted
you on Vardy.
But please go for Savio or Semenya and I will get the credit.
Okay, I'd like to... Thanks, Jules. I'd like to congratulate myself on being such a great host that I said quick differentials and it was the longest one of the week. I have absolutely zero control over this podcast. Why do I even think I do? 2 years
No, it's interesting. I think it's really interesting, Kelly, what you're saying. Super interesting.
Oh, I'm bullied on this podcast that I'm meant to host. Right, let's try again. Producer Jesse, who we're giving fame to, is going to kill me. I've just had a text with, we're not doing too bad for time. He's got to pick one differential, Kelly.
It will be, I said, Alex, it will be. Okay, Nigeria legend.
Sam, you've gone for Mbeumo, you've gone for Iwobi. They are our confirmed differentials. Sam, put those in the spreadsheet. Let's move on to transfers and captains. And please, guys, can we be quick on this? Jules, quick.
Quick, I think I might keep Kudus. I know it's City at the London Stadium, but I might give him this game and then I see. So probably no changes and just roll on the free transfer.
And who are you going
to captain? No changes again?
No, I had one with Livramento that was terrible. Oh, yeah. So I'm not going to do one this week.
Trust yourself.
No, exactly. Why? And then probably Isak as captain because that's what he does against Spurs.
We can't be friends anymore.
Haaland also scores a lot against West Ham too, so it could be Haaland.
Yeah, I think it's tough to go against Haaland when he's just done what he's done, isn't it, Sam? Are you gonna do that?
Yeah, I mean, clearly I'm not going to captain a player against my own team, am I? So I'm going to make a transfer this week. I'm going to do Nkunku to Morgan Rogers this week. I think that makes a lot of sense.
Oh, nostrils.
I just can't be not part of the Aston Villa fan club going into this week. I feel like I need to have a Villa player in, and I could actually go Isak to Watkins. I've got the money for that, but I don't really want to sell Isak this week. So Morgan Rogers is going to come in. And captaincy, yeah, I think for me, probably will be Haaland. He's got a great record at West Ham. He scored 3 times there in his last two Premier League trips. So I'm probably going to go for him. I don't know. I do also quite fancy Saka, but it's the early kickoff and I don't like to captain someone in the early kickoff. So probably Haaland.
Yeah, and Brighton have been really good at home as well, haven't they?
They have.
For me, I think Haaland is obviously. If you had Watkins or Rodgers, though, they could be an option, couldn't they, Sam?
Yeah, they absolutely could. And I think you could go for a Fulham player as well. They look like decent options as well if you wanted to go a bit more differential. But I think if you've got Cole Palmer in your team, I think he's a really nice captaincy pick this week.
Yeah, reminder that Chelsea are playing in the second qualifying match for the Conference League on Thursday evening. We're recording this on Thursday morning, so a few things could have changed then, particularly in terms of what we said earlier with Chelsea too. Now, I've done this pod a bit backwards today. All the admin I meant to do at the top, we got distracted and we went off in a million different directions. So thank you if you've stayed with us this long. It's been a different podcast. An interesting podcast, hasn't it, Jules?
Very interesting. Very fascinating.
I hope the listeners have been as interested as I have been. So I'm going to do what I normally do at the beginning, at the end, in terms of reminding you that the pod mini league code is Q7YCO, the letter O, 0. And just a recap of who's doing well. Congratulations to Matthew Bai. He is top. He got 93 points with his team Fast and Furious. I'm wondering if he's regretting that team name now. He didn't use his triple captain, which is the most remarkable thing, but he did play his wild card into game week 2, but he didn't actually play Fast despite naming his team after him. So he got 7 points on the bench for the Leicester defender there. He is 491st in the world. So a really strong start for him. And also proof that if things aren't going well, it doesn't matter if you want to wildcard early or wildcarding after just one game week. Interestingly, we're seeing chips be used quite a lot. Of the top 10 8 managers played a chip, but none of them played the triple captain. There were 4 wild cards and 4 free hits. Matthew is 2 points ahead of James White and Ernie Ronnie, who were tied in second on 195 points. So yeah, congratulations to everyone moving early on those chips and being very decisive. Myself and Jules, not so decisive and not willing to use our chips early, are we? Not a chance.
Not yet.
Okay, so Jules, you're not making a transfer?
No.
Very boring.
Nope, don't trust yourself. Sam, you're making one transfer. I've already made my transfer this week. I have finally bought in Robinson because I just didn't have enough defenders. And Mosquera is staying as my third sub, so he can stay away from my team. Wolves did keep a clean sheet last night, typically. Okay, your deadline this week, 90 minutes ahead of Arsenal versus Brighton. It is 11 a.m. on Saturday. Guys, are you still going to be on holiday when game week 3 gets underway?
No, I'll be home.
I'll be home as well, yeah. You'll Friday night I go home. So
okay, good. So you'll be paying full attention ahead of next week's podcast. But Off the Bench will be back on Monday. Sam, you'll be joined by FPL Sonaldo. They'll be talking you through all of the Game Week 3 talking points. I'll be back on the Fantasy Show on Friday. I've got 2 guests in the studio with me this week, Az and Gianni will be with us. Thanks, as always, for listening. And sorry that this has been the most bonkers pod we've had all season. I hope you've been interested. I certainly have. See you later.